In talking about the Seder HaAvodah, the first thing you have to be mevarer is exactly how many karbonos are you talking about. So there are three different units of karbonos. This year there are four, because it's Yom Kippur, Shulchan Aruch, and Shabbos. So first of all, you have to bring two tmidim every day, Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben HaAvayah. Then in Parshas Pinchas, you have the Musafim of Yom HaKippurim. So it says Parachod, Ayalachod, seven kvasim, and one Soil Lachatos. So that's seven kvasim, Parachod, Ayalachod, Leoilo, and a Soil Lachatos. So it's in other words, nine oilos and one chatos. And then in Parshas Achrimos, you have another list of korbanos, a third list of korbanos, for the purpose of Kaporas HaOvan, because of the Averis. So there is listed, Kohen Gadol has to pay from his own pocket, parachatos hashelo, a par, and an ayah le'oilo. He has to pay from his pocket. And then from the tzibur you bring the shnei sirim. One of the sirim is lachatos. Sorry, la'azazo, sorry, la'ashem is lachatos. And then you bring an ayah le'oilo. So the tanoim have a machloikis, but the ayah ho'amah kan hu ayah ho'amah b'chumish apkudim. The ayah le'oilo that's mentioned in Parsha Sachrimais, that the tzibur pays for the machtsa shekel money, is that the same aisle that's mentioned in Parshas Pinchas at two different elam? So all the Tanaim who have this discussion all lived after the Churban HaBayis. No one was ever there in the Beis HaMikdash. But it's a machlokes HaTorah. We pass an aisle, Homa Kanhu, Homa B'chumash HaPkudim. You don't bring two elam. It's the same aisle that's mentioned in the list of the Musafim is listed over here. It's a Pella, so why is it listed twice if it's only one aisle? So the Chachmas Sodom lived in Vilna. He brags about the fact he was a Mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. He was a Mechutna of one of the children of the Vilna Gaon, but it sounds better if you say you're a Mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. He said he delivered a Hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. So at the end of the Chachmas Sodom, the author of the Chayyadim had a son, Moshe, who died on Purim. And he wanted to memorialize the son, so he has Matzevis Moshe, a whole kuntris, in Hilchas Avelis at the end of the Chochmas Sodom. He has a whole sefer, Zichur Toras Moshe, where he has Hilchas Shabbos. It's also a memory of his son Moshe. So in the end of the Chochmas Sodom, where he has the Matzevis Moshe, he has a long shtikel Torah from his Mechutin, from the Vilna Gaon, to answer this kasha. He has another 10 kashas, and the kitzah, the teretz that he gives is a fantastic chiddush, and then he says it's a beferish passage in the Sifra, in the Torah's Kohanim, that the Musafim that are listed in Parshas Pinchas was only brought on Yom Kippur. And we always thought that the korbanos that are brought from Mechilas HaOvayim in the beginning of Parshas Achrimais was also only brought on Yom Kippur. So he says it's not so. Whenever the Kohen Gadol felt the need, whenever Klal Yisrael felt the need that the Kohen Gadol should go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he brings this series of karbonos. And if it ever happened, we don't know. But whenever he felt the need to go in, he would bring the series of karbonos. If it happens to be that it's Yom Kippur, so you're killing two birds with one stone. You yotze, if it's on Purim, if it's on Chanukah, that he feels a need to go. And that was a hayrasha only for Aaron HaKohen. That wasn't the din l'doros. That's why it's never discussed in the Gemara that din. If Aaron HaKohen felt the need to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, any day of the year, he would bring the korbanos that are listed in the beginning of Achrimas. If it happens to be Yom Kippur, so you have to bring the set of korbanos for the Kohen Gadol to enter, and you have to bring the set of korbanos for the Musafim, so you can be yotze with one aisle, you don't need two. But the reason why the Torah writes the aisle the second time, if there happens to be a Kohen Gadol, Aaron HaKohen has to go any other day other than Yom Kippur, then he has to bring that aisle, even though he's not going to bring the Musafim at all. This year there would be a fourth unit of korbanos because Yom Kippur, Shochali, is B'Shabbos, you have to bring the Musafim for Shabbos as well. The Kesef Mishnah rarely quotes the Ritva. In the Kesef Mishnah, it's commentary on the Rambam. I don't know how many times he rarely quotes the Ritva. Here in Avodas Yom Kippurim, Kesef Mishnah quotes that the Ritva had a Sofek. The Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol has to do all of the Avodas from A to Z on Yom Kippur. So the Ritva is Mesupik. Is that really Min HaTorah? He has to do everything. The Korban Tomid, that's Yom Kippur is a day like every day in the year. Every day in the year, you don't need a Kohen Gadol to do the Hakrovas HaTmidim. So the requirement that the Kohen Gadol has to bring the Tmidim on Yom Kippur, is that also a Deraisa? Could even be that because Mishnah only quotes the Ritva had a Safik regarding the Tvilim, should be a Safik regarding the Masafim as well. The Masafim that are brought on any other Yantif don't have to be brought by the Kain Gadol. Maybe you only need a Kain Gadol. In Parshas Achar Moses, they need a Kain Gadol for the Avodah Sayom, for the Korbanos that are brought from Mechila Sa'avan. But it could well be that the need for the Kain Gadol to bring the Tmidim and the Musafim, it could be that it's only Midirabban. It could be you only need a Kain Gadol for the Avodah Sayom. Do you need a Kain Gadol for any other Korbanos? So that's a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in connection with the Mishnah and Megillah. Rashi understood the Mishnah and Megillah as saying, the kifichuto shal mikra, you look in Parshas Vayikra, so it sounds when the Kain Gadol is Machal Shabbos, he can't bring Kizbo or Sira like a head, he has to bring a Par Kain Gadol. With more conditions, he has to make a mistake in Psak, in Stam Machal Shabbos, he doesn't bring Par Kain Gadol. So the simple reading of the Pasuk sounds like the Kain Gadol has to be Makriv, his Par Kain Mashiach. Or if you bring a Par Halamdova Shal Tzibur, if the Bezna Gadol gave a mistake in Psak, that you're allowed to turn on the lights on Shabbos, and then the Rav HaTzibur violated the Yisr, it's an Yisr Chil Shabbos, Rav HaTzibur Shabbat Zohar violated the Yisr, and then the Bezna Gadol realized that they made a mistake and they backed down. So in such a situation, we would not require each and every individual person to bring a Korban Chatos. We would say, let the Bezna Gadol bring the Par HaMdov Shal Tzibur, and everybody gets a Kapar. So the simple reading of the Psukim in Parshas Vayikra sound like it says, Rashi understood that that's what it says in the Mishnah, that you need a Kain Gadol to be Makriv Par HaMdov Shal Tzibur, and you need a Kain Gadol to be Makriv Par Koyim Mashiach. And Tosfos says that it's just not so. Tosfos says, even though that's what the Psukim say, look in the Toras Kohanim and the Sifra and the Psukim, and it's Labdavke, you don't need a Kain Gadol. And Rashi understood that the Mishnah is in disagreement with the Sifra, the Mishnah requires a Kain Gadol. So we usually assume, like Tosfos, that the only time once a year you need a Kain Gadol to do Akrovas HaKarbonos is only on Yom Kippurim, and that's the Safek of the Ritva. How much of the Avodas Yom Kippurim requires a Kain Gadol Menatorah, even for the Tmidim and even for the Masafim, or is it only Menatorah for the Avodas Hayom, for the Mechila Sa'ovon? There's a famous Baal HaMor in Maseches Yuma, the first Baal HaMor. He writes that all the Paitonim who wrote the Piyutim with respect to the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim, they all made a major mistake. There's a Nusach Ashkenaz and there's a Nusach Svar, two different Nuschos. Everybody, and there are more than two. So all the Paitonim made a mistake. They have four Payosas in the Beis Hamikdash. The second Perek in Yom is dedicated to the whole institution of Payosas. How did they determine which Kohanim will do the Hakrovas HaKarbonos? So the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaras. And every 24 weeks, my Mishmar would come. And then the Mishmaras were divided into six Bati Ovis. Sunday was one Beisav, Monday was another Beisav, Shabbos everybody went home. So there's hardly anybody left. So all of the six Bati Ovis would do the Avodas HaKarbonos on Shabbos. So every day you have the Kohanim from that Mishmar, that Beisav. You can have a few hundred Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. How do you decide mi shoychet and mi mekabel asadam and mi makter es akteris and mi makter es haimurim? Who does all the korbanos? So the Mishnah has a whole description. They used to have payasas. They used to have a lottery, so to speak, to determine who has the right, which of the Kohanim and that Beis Abam that day has the source to be marked with the korbanos that day. So were there any payasas on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does everything from A to Z. So what is the room for payasas? So the Baal HaMor says, all of the paitonim made a mistake. We all have four payasas on Yom Kippur. There are no payasas. The Kohen Gadol has to do everything. So the Ramban asked the Pella, so what is the whole second parak in Yuma? The whole second parak is dedicated to payasas. So why does it appear in Maseches Yuma? It should only be in Maseches Tomid. It doesn't belong in Maseches Yuma. And the Ramban makes fun of it. Usually Ramban writes with great respect of the Baal HaMor. And he writes over here, how can it be that no one knows the truth, only the Baal HaMor? He knows the secret. He's the only one who knows the truth. So he defends all of the Paitonim. And he explains that on Yom Kippur there were four payasas, because not everything from A to Z was done by the Kohen Gadol. Some of the avodas didn't require a Kohen Gadol. So the first one that he talks about is Trumas Adeshin. Trumas Adeshin took place in the middle of the night. So that's Avodas HaLaila. That's not Avodas HaYom. So that Tosfos already has two opinions about that. That you need a Kohen Gadol to do the Trumas HaDeshen. So the simple reading of a certain Gemara in the first parak sounds like the Kohen Gadol did the Trumas HaDeshen also. And Tosfos and the Ramban explain why it doesn't necessarily have to be read like that. So that's a machlokes. So the Ramban says, all of Paitonim assumed that was the first of the Arba Payosas to do the Trumas HaDeshen. Then the second was Dishan Mizbeach HaPanimi in Dishan HaMenoira. So the Ramban thinks that Dishan Mizbeach HaPanimi was not even a Din Daraisa. He thinks that maybe it's only by the Rabbanim. And also it could be done by Laila, it's not Avodas HaYom, so you didn't need a Kohen Gadol for that. The third was Chadoshim L'Ktoris Bo V'Hafisu. We're just discussing this morning in Parshas V'Zois HaBrocha, it says Baruch Yosim L'Ktoris B'Apecho Baruch Hashem Chelo. So the Gemara says that Haktoris, Haktoris, every day in the Beis HaMikdash was a zgula for Ashiras. So because it was a zgula of Ashiras, so the Chachamim in the days of the Beis HaMikdash wanted to spread the wealth. So they decided when they have the Hagrola, when they have the Payosas, to determine which Kohen has the right to do Haktoris, Haktoris, they should only allow Kohanim who never had a chance before in their life to bring Ktoris, because Ktoris is a zgula for Ashiras. So why should you get all the Ashiras? Let someone else have an opportunity to strike a bitch. So they always used to announce, Chadoshim L'Ktoris, whoever never had a chance before, should join together and we're going to determine who has the right to do the Ktoris on Yom Kippur. So the Ramban writes that the third pious on Yom Kippur was Chadoshim L'Ktoris Bo'ov HaFiso. To do what? What, to be mocked to the Ktoris? No, it says Beferish in the Mishnayis, the Kohen Gadol did HaKtoris HaKtoris. The Ramban says not to be mocked to the Ktoris, to take the machta to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and to take Gecholim from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and put them on the Mizbeach HaPnimi for the purpose of HaKtoris HaKtoris. The Kohen Gadol is going to be machta the Ktoris. But to do the Hachona, to put the coals from the Mizbeach HaPnimi on the Mizbeach HaChitzon onto the Mizbeach HaPnimi, so that there was a pious for. That was the third pious. Then the fourth pious was that was done also by Kohanim Hadyotim. So the Ramban defends all of the Baitonim. He says that it's a long Melchamas. He defends the assumption that there were four Payasas on Yom Kippur as well. The Mishnah has an expression, an interesting expression. The Kohen Gadol goes to Mikvah five times on Yom Kippur. So every time he goes to the Mikvah, it says, Olav in his tapek. He comes out of the mikveh and he dries off with the towel. So it sounds like the Mishnah is like telling, like your mother says, make sure you dry yourself so you don't catch a cold and you don't get something with your skin. The Mishnah has to tell you that it should dry his body. Of course he's going to dry himself with the towel. Why does the Mishnah have to mention that? So the Mishnah Melech has a famous comment that the Poskim discuss. Mishlam Melech says, if he doesn't dry himself, the droplets of water may be considered, may constitute a chatzitza between the big dekuna and his body. So it's halacha that the olav in his tapik has to dry himself so there shouldn't be a chatzitza. So the Poskim quote this in Hilchas Tefillin, because all of the dinim in Hilchas Tefillin of what's considered a chatzitza, what's not, is all based on the Gemaras in Maseches Zvachim in the second parak about what's a chatzitza between the big dekuna and the body. So the Mishlam Melech thinks that droplets of water, if it just came out of the, he's hopping wet, just came out of the mikveh, so droplets of water will be a chatzitza. So there are people who go to mikveh every morning before they daven Shacharis. So if they don't dry their hair well, and then they're going to put on the tefillin, so the droplets of water are going to be a chatzitza in between the tefillin and the body. So Mishlam Melech interprets like that. All of them is stopping is a halachic statement. There's a sefer on Kochim, the Mikdash David, by Rav David Rappaport. He gave the highest shir in Rav Chana Wasserman's yeshiva. Rav Chana hired him sight unseen to give the highest shir. Then when he came, he was surprised to find out he was single. He wasn't married. Surprised to find out he knew how to write beautifully, but he stuttered so poorly they couldn't understand one word. They didn't know what language he was talking. So Rabbi Chana asked Rabbi Chaim Moiser, his brother-in-law, what should I do? I hired this guy, and no one understands what he's talking about, and he's single. So Rabbi Chaim Moiser said, the single, that'll probably straighten out. The end of the story was he did get married, but he never had any children. He died in Siberia, in the middle of the war. They ran away to Siberia. And he said, you can't fire him as such a big Talmid Chacham. So it took a year till they understood what he was saying. Every student took a year till he picked up the language that he said. So he has the Sefer Mikdash Dam, and he learned, when Abdavid Rappaport learned in Slabotka, in the Kollel, they were learning Kachin. And the klal was that everyone has to write Talmud Dei Mechadash. So he wrote these fantastic essays on Kachin that everybody enjoys now, encyclopedic essays. So he writes in the Mikdash David, he has a taina against the Mishnah Melech, but that expression, Olam in his topic, appears in Mishnah's Parah as well, when you're making a Parah Adumah. By Parah Adumah, the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen who makes the Parah Adumah doesn't wear big dekuna. So it can't be that the reason why it says Olam in his topic is you have to dry yourself off to make sure there's no chatzitza. He's not wearing big dekuna by Parah Adumah. So why does it say Olam in his topic? Mishnah tells you, make sure you dry yourself off, you don't catch a cold. So he has a different suggestion. He quotes a Gemara, a Mishnayis and Gemaris in Chagiga, that there's a Chumra Midrabanan, that when a person is Toivol for the purpose of being Makar Karbanis, he has to be Toivol Lishma. In our Torah, there is no such thing. You don't have to be Toivol Lishma. Midrabanan is such a din. So the Gemara has a din. What if the Kohen, somebody was Toivol in the Mikveh, he wants to be Toivol, didn't have a mind to eat Trum, didn't have a mind to eat Kachim, didn't have a mind to make a Paraduma. And then after he's already in the water, after he already came out of the mikveh, then he thinks, oh, I should have had a mind, the shame to do hakrabas hakarbanis. So the Gemara has a chidush dikedin. They didn't know at the time that you were tovel in the mikveh, you didn't have kavana lishma. But if you didn't dry yourself off yet, then you can inject the kavana lishma into your tefillah. Because the whole din of kavana lishma is only midirabbanan. If it would be a din, then Atar wouldn't work. He has Kavar Lishma after he already comes out of the mikveh. So he suggests, that's what the Mikdash Dovi suggests, maybe the reason why he says Olav in his tapeg, that he has to have the Kavana before he dries himself off. That the Gemara of the Tefillah Midrabanan is in his tapeg. So we mentioned before that the Mishnah has that the Kohen Gadol goes to mikveh 5 times on Yom Kippur. Why does it go 5 times? Because the Seder Avodah was divided into 5 units. The first unit of Avodah was done by the Kohen Gadol on Big Day Zahav, the uniform that he wears all year long. The second unit of Avodah was done in Big Day Lavan, special miyuchet for Yom Kippur. Third unit of Avodah was done in Big Day Zahav, the fourth in Big Day Lavan, and the fifth again in Big Day Zahav. When you read the Pshut Shel Mikra, it doesn't sound like that at all. In Parshas Sachem, it sounds like the Avodah was divided into 3 units. First unit, Big Day Zav. Middle unit, Big Day Lavan. And the last unit, Big Day Zav. So where does it come from that is divided into 5 units? So Rabbi Elbala Soloveitchik, in the Sefer that he has on Maseches Yuma, quotes a Ramban in the Milchames, and he interprets the Ramban. I don't know if you have to necessarily read the Ramban, but that's how he interprets. If you do the Avodah the way it's described in the Chumash, you will be Yotze. It's good. It's not considered Shaloi al HaSeder. But we have Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, the Chumash Tefillahs Gemiri. We have a tradition, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, the Chumash Tefillahs V'Asari Kiddushin, Tovah Kohen Gadol, Omekadesh, B'Yom HaKippurim. Is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, he should go to Mikvah 5 times. In order to satisfy that separate Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, so we don't do the way it says in the Chumash. If you do the way it says in the Chumash, you'll be Yotze. But you will be missing out on the other Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai to go to Mikvah 5 times. So we divide the Avodas that are done on the Big Day Lavan into 2. And you make 5 units of Avodah, Big Day Zav, Big Day Lavan, Big Day Zav, Big Day Lavan, Big Day Zav. And you Yotze both. You Yotze the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai of Chumash Tevilas and Asari Kiddushin. And you Yotze the Seder of the Parshias. Rav Soloveitchik once spoke a little bit about this. He mentioned in the middle of a drasha about the fact that the psukim are shaloi al haseder. The way Rav Elbala learned, the psukim are not shaloi al haseder, the psukim are all in order. He just changed it a little bit. You divide the avodah and the big day lovan into 2 units in order to satisfy another mitzvah of the Torah Shabbat Pev. Halacha Moshe to have five tefillahs and a sorry kiddushin. Rav Soloveitchik mentioned the following. That we have 2 Yamim Tovim when we celebrate Zman Matan Tereseinu. Shavuos is Zman Matan Tereseinu. And the Mishnah in the end of Taina says, Lahay Lahem Lisa Yamim Tovim, Kachamishas Ababi Kiyama Kippurim. Those were the jolliest 2 days in the calendaric year. And they used to make Shiduchim on Yom Kippur. They didn't say such long piyutim that we have. They had time to make Shiduchim on Yom Kippur. they didn't daven a whole day in the shul. It's a totally different kind of a Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Yom Kippur, we understand what the celebration is. It's Yom Kabbalah Sater. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch Hashniyas on Yom Kippur. So it seems from the Gemara that one of the things that we're celebrating on Yom Kippur is Kabbalah Luch Hashniyas, Kabbalah Sater. So the Achrayim ask a question, why they need two holidays to celebrate Kabbalah Sater, both Shavuos and Yom Kippur. Reb Shlomo Levilner writes in his Sefer, in the Beis HaLevi, they were contemporaries, they both write the same idea. There's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. So Shavuos is the Yontav of Kabbalah's Torah Shebichsav, and Yom Kippur is the Yontav of Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. It sounds a little arbitrary. You have two Yomim Tovim, you have two parts to the Torah, so you say this is for this and that's for them. Hey, for Pesach, what's the connection? So Rav Soldechik said, over the Beis HaLevi has a long explanation, that the original plan was, the Rebbeinu Shlomo's original plan was, everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav. And all you needed were the Aseres Adibas, the Luchas, and somehow in between the lines, everything was written. And then, on the occasion of the Chet HaEgel, everything disappeared from in between the lines. And then Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchas, and Rebbeinu Shlomo told him, write the Luchas all over again. At the time that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchas, it only had Aseres Adibas. Before it had Kol HaTorah Kula written there. The Beis HaLevi quotes Rayas from the Babli, or from the Drashim, or from the Zohar, that Kol HaTorah Kula was written on the Luchas Rishonis, and the original plan was that there isn't going to be any need for any Torah Shebal Peh. Everything is going to be Torah Shebichsav, everything is going to appear on the Luchas. But then after the Chet HaEgel, everything disappeared, everything, Osius Parchas Bavir, and all that was left was Aseres Adibas, and then the plan was, Psal Luchas Shnei Luchos Habarim Karishanim, Bechasavti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to engrave only the Aseres Adibras, and from now on there's going to be an institution of Torah Shebal Peh. Why did the plan have to change? So the rest of the Medrash appears to us in Gitlan, Dav Samach quotes the rest of the Medrash. There's a pasuk that says, Echtov lo rubei Torosi haloka mozar nechshavu. If the whole Torah, if so much of the Torah will be written, Torah Shebichsav, then the Jewish people will be like outsiders, like strangers. What does that mean? So the Beis HaLevi explains the Barichas, that before the Chet HaEgel, the original plan was that no Ummah v'Loshem would have any shlita over the Jewish people. So we will be the Yaman Ifch, and there won't be any dispute over it. After the Chet HaEgel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goyze that the Jewish people would be subjugated on the other nations. One of the nations who subjected the Jewish people to suffering were the Christians. And the Christians claimed that because we rejected Osa Huish, we lost our status as the Yama Nifcha, and they claimed that they were the Yama Nifcha. And that, in fact, was the Catholic response to the Zionist movement from day number one, when the Jews were talking about returning back to Eretz Yisrael. So in all the Catholic newspapers all over the world, in all the different languages, in Italian, and in Spanish, and in English, and in French, all over the world they wrote the same thing. It's never going to happen. The Jews will never get back Eretz Yisrael. And the Catholics explain why. Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNivcheres for the Am HaNivcha. And they are no longer the Am HaNivcha. We lost our status. They are the Am HaNivcha. The Catholics are the Am HaNivcha and the Jews are not. So this is only possible to claim like that if you have the Torah. So they have the Tanakh. So the Tosis quotes the Medrash where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Echtob la rubei tarasi. If I write the whole Torah down b'ksav, so the Yom HaSolim will be able to claim that they are the Yom HaNivcha, they have everything. So that's why after the Chet HaEgel, the Rebbeinu Shlomo decided he has to have part of the Torah is going to be Torah Shebal Peh. It's only going to be miyuchad for the Jewish people. So when the Catholics will claim that they are the Yom HaNivcha, that they have the Torah, but we have the Torah Shebal Peh that they don't have. Now, unfortunately, the whole Torah Shebal Peh, art scroll printed everything. And the Vatican has a standing order. They get 25 copies of every volume that the art scroll puts out. And they have their galochim sitting and studying all the art scroll. They're studying the Torah Shebal Peh also. So that's what the Beis HaLevi explains. There was a need for a Torah Shebal Peh after the Chet HaEgel that it should be obvious to the whole world that the Jewish people, the Am HaNivcha, that we have a chelik of Torah that no one else has, namely the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's what the Beis HaLevi explained. That's why there are two Yamim Tovim that celebrate Kabbalah Sater. on Shavuos we celebrate. The original plan one is only going to be Luchas. Kol HaTarakun is going to be written Torah Shebichsav. So on Shavuos we celebrate Kabbalah's Torah Shebichsav, because according to the original plan, that was going to be Kol HaTarakun. But after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu had to come down on Yom Kippur with the Luchas Shniyos. So Luchas Shniyos didn't have Kol HaTarakun. It only had Esad Varim Asher Hoyu Al Olchos HaRishonim Asher Shibarta. At the time that he smashed the Luchas, it only had the Aseres HaDibes. Didn't have everything else. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippurim, that's Kabbalah Satorah of Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik gathered, and that's all in the Beis HaLevi. The end of the second chelik of the Tshuva's Beis HaLevi has long drushes. So this is one of the long drushes there. The Rav Soloveitchik said over a few times. Rav Soloveitchik added on, maybe that's why the Chumash has the Seder Avodah out of order. And Yom Kippur, he didn't say like Rav Elwala says, that if you do this Seder Avodah, the way it's described in the Chumash will be Yotze. But you won't be Yotze this need, this halacha Moshe Misina, to do Chumash Tefillas Vasor Kiddushin. So Rav Soloveitchik sort of implied not so. He said, no, the Chumash writes the Seder Avodah in an inaccurate fashion, that you should know that without the Torah Shabbat Peh, you're going to do the Avodah incorrectly. You have to do the Avodah the way the Torah Shabbat Peh says, in 5 units, not in 3 units. But Lamaisa, that's it. The Avodah is divided into 5 units, Big Day Zoh, Big Day Love, and Big Day Zoh. And the Mishnah spells out step by step every carbon, when was it brought, during which Avodah? Many of the carbonists have a machlokes hatanoim. It's interesting. With all of the detail that appears in the Mishnayos and the Gemara, when everything was done, there's one detail that's never discussed. So Rabbi Shlomo Levilna has her oris. Shlomo Levilna and his brother, Rabbi Tzal Vilna, were the two Dayanim, two of the Dayanim in Vilna at the time they were printing the Vilna Shas. Shlomo Levilna's grandson used to be a Rebbe in TI, and I was a student in high school, Rabbi Markelis. So he told the students that the family tradition has it that Rabbi Shlomo Levilna was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. He checked the galleys before they went to print them. He checked the galleys without checking against another Gemara. He knew the Gemara Rashi Tosfos by heart. And he checked it just by reading through. That's the family tradition. That's I add on. That's why sometimes there's a mistake in the Vilna Shas that doesn't appear in any other edition. And the mistake is a Litvak's mistake. A Shin instead of a Samach instead of a Shin. Because he pronounced Hebrew like a Litvak. So those mistakes in the Vilna Shas are already now are corrected. They print the Gemara's now. They already corrected the Shins with the Samach. So Shlomo Levilna has this comment. He points out there are two different texts for the Seder HaVodah. Piyutim, you have Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Svar. So there's a Machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam. When was the Talmud Shel Bein HaBayim brought on Yom Kippur? They clearly brought it. But it never says explicitly when it was brought. Was it done? Was Talmud Shel Bein HaBayim brought in the third unit of Big Day of Big Day Zav, or in the fifth unit, which was also Big Day Zav? When was it done? So Rashi is of the opinion that it was done in the fifth unit. So the Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi. And the Rambam's opinion was that the Talmud Shel Bein HaBayim was brought in the third unit, so the Nusach Svarad corresponds with the Rambam's opinion. Rav Shlomo Levilna is very unhappy, though. Whoever is right, how come it doesn't say in the Mishnah? So he thinks that they're both wrong. He thinks that they're both wrong. When did they bring the Talmud Shel Bein HaBayim? So he says the Mishnah in Pesachim says Talmud Nishchat. It says every day of the year the Korban Talmud was brought between 2:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon. There are 6 hours in the afternoon from Chatzos till the end of the day. It takes about an hour to bring the Talmud Shel Bein HaBayim. So you bring the Talmud Shel Bein HaBayim right in the middle of the afternoon. So you have 2.5 hours before, 2.5 hours after. Between 2:30 and 3:30 it took 1 hour to bring the Talmud Shel Bein HaBayim. So he says, if the Kohen Gadol is a young, energetic guy, he's going to run. That's what I said, ruts, and ruts is always running. So he's going to be, when the clock strikes 2:30, he'll be in the fifth unit of Avodah already. If he's an older Kohen Gadol, it takes him until he walks, until he crats his eyes, it takes him a long time. He'll be in the middle of the third unit of Avodah. When the clock strikes 2:30, then he brings it. Talmud Shel Bein HaBayim. That's why the Mishnah never says when it was brought. It was neither brought in the third unit nor in the fifth unit. Sometimes in the third, sometimes the fifth, depending what time, how energetic the Kohen Gadol is and how fast he's going to do the Avodah. So this is one of the discrepancies between the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Sfarad. At least it's consistent. The Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi's opinion that the Talmud of Ben Abayim was brought in the fifth unit of Avodah. Nusach Sfard follows the Rambam's opinion. Talmud of Ben Abayim was brought in the third unit of Avodah. There's another discrepancy between the two. We have in the Mishnayos and Maseches Tomid that every day of the year they brought the Tmidim and they brought all the Kabbanis. And every step of the way it says they had, they divided up the Avodah amongst many Kohanim. So whenever a Kohen finished his Avodah, so the Mishnah has many, 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 many times the expression, Hishtachav Avayotza. The Kohen did his Avodah, he kneels on the floor and he leaves the Azor. Where did the Chacham get this idea that Kol HaNichnasim LaAzor, whoever enters the Azor has to be Mishtachav before he leaves? So we quote from the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Aliyah, Mishnayis Bikurim, that is based on the pasuk in Parshas Bikurim. It says, "V'yishtachavi yisa l'chnei Hashem alokecha." Is yishtachva part of this ceremony of Havos HaBikurim? So the Vilna Gaon thinks it has nothing to do with Bikurim. Just the Nevi'i Bikurim have to enter the Azara, and the din is called Hanichnasim LaAzara, have to have yishtachavoya. So that's why the Mishnah says each Kohen who did any slight little Avodah any day of the year was Hishtachav Avayotza. So the Nusach Svard of the Seder Avodah, the Kaigodol is in the base on Migdash all day long on Yom Kippur, so before he leaves it says Hishtachav Avayotza. Very nice. Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't say that. It says so much the Kaigodol did all day long, everything. How come he wasn't Hishtachav? So Rav Soloveitchik printed a whole Dvar about this years ago, on the assumption that the Nusach Ashkenaz didn't just make a mistake, not that the Python just forgot to write Hishtachva V'yotza, on the assumption that it's Meduyak. So why should there not be any Hishtachva? So Rav Soloveitchik had a suggestion. On Yom Kippur, every step of the way, literally, every step of the way is considered a Chelek of the Avodah. So he showed this from the Gemara in the first Perek in Chulin. The Gemara says, the Mishnah tells when the Kohen Gadol left the Kodesh HaKadosh and he walked out backwards. Like we all know when people used to go speak to Rabbi Hutman, they would leave his office, they had to walk out backwards from the office. Like the Kohen Gadol leaving the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Gemara asked a question, but it says he has to walk from the Kodesh HaKadosh into the Hechel to do the Avodah in the Hechel. Has to walk. Walking backwards, is that considered walking? The Gemara proves, yes, we see from that Mishnah that walking backwards is considered walking. That's considered entering. What's the Shaila? He has to do Avodas in a certain order. He did all the Avodas in order. What's the issue is walking backwards? You see from the Gemara in the first Perek in Chulin, the sugya of Yigoyin Basa Chazoka. So the Gemara says, the Gemara seems to be assuming that not only the Hakravas HaKarbonis in a specific order is needed, the walking from one Avodah to the next, walking from one room to the other is also part of the Seder HaVodah Yom Kippur. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe if the Kohen Gadol will be Mishtachaveh, since it doesn't say that in Parshas Sacher Mois, that'll be a Shino in the Seder HaVodah. So maybe all year long, whenever the Kohen Gadol is in the Beis HaMikdash, he's always in the Beis HaMikdash every day, whenever he's there, has to be Hishtachaveh B'yotza before he leaves. Everyone, Kol HaNechnos and Azara have to be Mishtachaveh. Maybe Punkt on Yom Kippur, he's not Mishtachaveh B'davke, because it'll be a shinui, he'll be interjecting something that's not in the list in Parshas Acharei Mois. Not just you have to do Hakrovas HaKarbonis in a specific order, you're not allowed to introduce anything else in between either. That was quite a Mechudish Dikur suggestion. Years ago, there was a sefer that was very popular by Agnon, about Yomim Noroim. I think it's out of style, people don't even know that it exists. So Agnon was a famous Hebrew writer. So on Yom HaNoraim, he made a collection of many fascinating sources. So one of the, it's a fascinating sefer. So one of the sources that he quotes is that there was a minig in many communities that the davke, you have to have an hour hafsoka in the davening between Musaf and Mincha, you have to have a pause of an hour. Why is Zecha L'Migdash? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohen Gadol gave the Sor HaMishtalech to the Ish Iti, it says he had to stand. Ein yeshiva b'azor ele l'malchit beis David. You're not allowed to sit down in the azora. So the Kohen Gadol had to stand for an hour in the azora to wait till higia hasoyer letchilas hamidbar. Higia hasoyer letzuk. That took a few hours. That was 11 mil. But higia hasoyer letchilas hamidbar. That was 3 mil. A mil is approximately 22 and a half minutes. So it took a little over an hour. So Edric's not allowed to sit down. So he has to stand in the Azara for an hour, and he can't move on to do the next Seder Avodah. So just like in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a hafsaka of over an hour between the Shiluach HaSoyer, the Arishiti, La Midbar, so too we make a zecher, we have a pause. Very interesting. What was that all about? Why does the Kohen Gadol have to stand there like a golem and not do anything for an hour? Why can't he move on to the next Avodah? Why does he have to wait till he gets HaSoyer La Midbar? So Rav Soloveitchik published a Dvar Torah about this. So he said, when the it says in the Chumash, the Kohen Gadol has to give the Soyer La'Azazel to the Ishiti in the Azara. Yishilach b'yad Ishiti Hamid Baram. And the Ishiti is like a Shaliach of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has to stand in the Azara because this is an Avodah. And the Avodah is not finished till he gives Soyer L'Tchilas Hamid Baram. So just like you need, when a Kohen does an Avodah, he has to stand in the Azara. Let's say the Kohen will stand outside of the Azara and have his hand inside and do Zrikas HaDam on the Mizbeach. That's no good. Even though the Dam is inside, the Dam is not Nifsal B'Yotzei. The Kohen has to stand in the Azara. And if it's a Korban, it has to have Kabbalah HaDam in Tzofen. So the Kohen has to stand in Tzofen. And if it's an Avodah that has to be done in the Hechel, the Kohen has to stand in the Hechel. It's an Avodah that has to be done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kohen has to stand in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Shiluach HaSoyer, La'Azazel, has to be done by the Kohen Gadol in the Azara, and the Shiluach is not completed till the Ishiti reaches the Midbar. So the Kohen has to stand there. It has to be about Midbar. He can't sit. He has to stand in the Azara for an hour till he knows that the Ishiti reached Tchilas HaMidbar. So that Avodah is not finished. Shiluach HaSoyer, La'Midbar is finished. Shiluach HaSoyer, La'Azazel, that's a separate unit. But Shiluach La'Midbar, Vishiluach Ishiti HaMidbara, that has to be done by the Kohen Gadol in the Azara. It has to stand in the Azara till the Avodah is completed. Rav Soloveitchik compares this to another point that Rav Elbala Soloveitchik wrote to him about. You have in the end of the Sefer of Rav Elbala Soloveitchik on the Rambam, they have a few letters there. So two of the letters were written to Rav Soloveitchik. The two letters that write Chazisi Li Akiri, those were letters that he sent to Rav Soloveitchik when he was studying in Berlin in the university. So Rav Soloveitchik had sent a Shtikl Torah. Rav Elbala didn't agree, so Rav Elbala wrote him back something which later Rav Soloveitchik picked up on, adopted, and he expanded on it. So Rav Elbala wrote him over the following, and Rav Soloveitchik expanded on it. When the Kohen Gadol does the Haktoras, Haktoras, Daka Min HaDaka, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the Machto, so he has to stand there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Anshi Yismal HaBayis Kula Oshim, till the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim is full of smoke, and then he walks out. Why does he have to stand there to Anshi Yismal HaBayis Kula Oshim? So he said, even though he's not doing anything anymore, he just puts the Ktoros on the Gecholim, and then it's going to catch flame, and it's going to start burning, and it's going to be on its own. It's going to be Nismal HaBayis Kula Oshim. But the Avodah of Haktoros, Haktoros, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not completed till it'll be Ki Be'on and Eruah Al HaKapuris. So Rav Elbala Soloveitchik, in his letter to the Rav, who was in Berlin at that time, he quotes this from Rav Simcha Zelig. He was the Dayan in Brisk. Even after Rav Chaim passed away, he was a Dayan. He was still the Dayan in Brisk. He was killed by the Nazis, I think, in the middle of the war. He died in the middle of the war. I'm not sure. So Rav Soloveitchik expanded upon this. He said, this is similar to the Ishiti. Until the Ishiti reaches Tchilas HaMidbar, the Kohen Gadol hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of Shilach B'Yad Yishiti. The Yishiti is the Shliach of the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol has to stand in the Azor and the Mokim HaVoidah until the Yishiti reaches Tchilas HaMidbar. So here also, the Kohen Gadol has to stand in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He certainly can't sit down there. He can't even sit down in the Azor. He has to wait till Achi Yismal HaBadus. He doesn't have to do anything. It's going to happen by itself. But the Avodah is not completed. Achi Yismal HaBadus Kula Yoshim. Then he can leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rav Elbala in his Sefer quotes another Moshel. Rav Soloveitchik doesn't quote this. But in the letter that Rav Elbala wrote, he quotes another Moshel. There is a very strange Gemara in Zvachim. Let's say this is a Mizbeach. And the Kohen Gadol does a Zrikas HaDam from a distance. And he throws the dam. And before the dam lands on the Mizbeach, where it's supposed to land, his finger gets cut off. So he becomes a Balmum. But at the time that he threw the dam, he was not a Balmum. He becomes a Balmum before it lands on the Mizbech. So the Gemara has a din. The Avodah is possible. Even though he was not a Balmum at the time that he did the Pu'ula, but the Avodah is not completed till it lands on the Mizbech. And you need the Kangodol, the Kohen has to be Behechsher. So just like you require that you shouldn't be a Balmum, you require that the Kangodol should be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Achei Smal Habayis Kudoshim, or the Kangodol has to be in the Azara until he Giyah Hasor LaMidbar. So the same over here. Very interesting Chiddush. In our piyut that we say the Seyda Avodah, we have three times Akan Vam Hom the Mazara Yekoyim Mishtachem Emodim. Every time they heard the Shem Hamfarish Yoytzim Mipin Kohen Gadol B'Kedusha B'Tahara. So the Kohen Gadol said Vidui three times. First time Ani Ubeisi, the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be married. That's the opening Mishnah. V'chipa Bada B'yad Beisa, Beisa Zulishto, he has to be married. The Gemara in the first parak in Yuma assumes he has to be married with Nisuin. The Babli holds, if he only has Erisin, that's not called Beisa. Beisa Zulishto is only Nisuin. Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi, so it's not so clear whether the Yerushalmi agrees or disagrees with the Bavli. But the Bavli is Beferish like that. That's a Rashi in the first parak in Kiddushin. Doesn't tell you where he got it from, but he's assuming like that. That the Pasuk says in Chumash that an Eishes Kohen is permitted to eat Truma even though she herself is not a Kohenes. So that's based on the Pasuk. Kol Tor Beveischa Yochal Kodesh. Kol Tor Beveischa means Beisa Zulishto. The Rashi says Beisa Zulishto is only Nesua. How do you know that even Arusa Minatora, if an Israeli says Arusa Lekohen, she's also permitted to eat Truma? So the Gemara had to dig up a new Pasuk, Kohen Ki Yikin Nefesh Kinya Kaspo. He's Mekadesha. But if she's in the Suah, I know from the other Pasuk. And Beisa Zulishta is only in the Suah. Where did Rashi know that? The Beisa Zulishta is only in the Suah. So that's the Bavli in the first parak in Yuma commenting on the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, V'chipa Bada Bad Beisa, Beisa Zulishta, he has to be married, that it's only fulfilled if he has Nisuah. The Tosfos Yerushalmi on the first Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in Yuma, has two deis. They're not sure. Is that Lihikuva, that the Kohen Gadol has to be married? What if he's not married? Maybe he Yotzeh B'Dieved anyway. But Azoi, the Kohen Gadol says Vidui three times on Yom Kippur. So the first time is for three different points. So one time he says, Ani Ubeisi. He asks for Mechila himself and his wife. Then he says, Ani Ben Aaron Am Kadeshech Ben Shevet Kuhun. And the third time he asks he says Vidui, Al Shem Kol Yisrael. Each time he says the Vidui, he mentions Shem Hashem three times. He says, Ona Hashem. He says the Shem first. Then he says, Ona Bashem, he says the second time the Shema first. Then at the end of the Vida, he mentions the Pasuk, as it says in the Chumash, Lefnei Hashem Titor. So that's what the Chazal says, Lefnei Hashem. And before we finish Titor, we say, Akan Vaham Ham the Mazar, and they heard the Shema first. So that's a question, why did they only bow down Korim Mishtach Amodim when he said the third Shema Hashem? Each time he said the Vida, he said the Vida three times, and he said Shema Hashem three times each time. They were only Mishtachwa the third time. So as the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it would appear that if you're going to say a long nusach, you're going to say Shem Hashem a few times, so you're only mechayiv to do the Shevach the last time. You're not mechayiv to do the first time, the second time. I know that a third time is coming. Pnei Hashem Titaru. So it's enough if you show the kovet to the Shem. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havagod Lelakeinu. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk. When someone says the Shem HaFeirash, everybody has to show kavod, and he showed kavod by bowing down on the floor and screaming out, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Avod. The Rashash was a businessman. He was the Rosh HaKohol. He was the president of the Kehillah. He was a wealthy man. He was the president of Kehillah in Vilna at the time the Vilna Shas was being printed. So he writes that he noticed in Shul that the Balabatim do something which he thinks is incorrect. They would kneel on the floor when they said, Akan V'Aham the Mazara. Then everybody would stand up, and after they stood up, then they would scream out, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon. He thinks that it's incorrect. He thinks that he's supposed to scream Baruch Shem when you're kneeling on the floor, that the Shevach is supposed to be together with the Shtach Voya. So the normal text of all of the Machzorim have it, that Akan Vam Ham the Mazor appears three times at the end of each one of the three times that he said the Vida. The Balatanya added on a fourth time. When the Kohen Gadol says Lashem Chatos, the Mishnah says he said the Shema Farish by Lashem Chatos also. And it was a kind of Amham the Mazar. But the Balatanya in the Siddur writes, the Chazan should add on the kind of Am the fourth time, but they're not Korea Mishtachla there. Even on the base of Migdash they did. We don't make a Zech al Migdash for that, for some Kabbalistic reason. So Rav Soloveitchik introduced, that's what they do here in Yeshiva usually, that we do like the Nusach of the Baal HaTanya and say four times Akan of Om, and you Mishtachla all four times, that is Mamash Zech al Migdash, the same as in the base of Migdash. The Mishnah says that when the Kengorol does the Zvikas Adam in front of the Baroiches, so he has to do Achas first in front of the Orim, the Bais Rishon. The Orim was there. In front of the Baroiches, he does Achas Lamaila Visheva Lamata. What do you mean Achas Lamaila? So each time he dips his finger into the cup of Dam, his right hand, the right finger, so Achas Lamaila dips in and he goes like this. And Sheva Lamata, he dips in and he goes like that, sprinkling down. And the Gemara says you have to count separately. You have to count Lamaila Lamata. You don't count from 1 to 8. You count 1. You count from 1 to 7. So that's what we do. We say Achas, Achas, V'Achas, Achas, Hishtayim, Achas, V'Sholosh. So the Gemara says, but there's a Braisa that says Fakert. When he separates the counting, he says Achas, Achas, V'Achas, Shtayim, V'Achas, Sholosh, V'Achas. Do you say the larger number first? Or do you say the smaller number first? So it's a Machloikas HaTanaim. So what are they fighting about? But they say the larger number first or the smaller number first. So the Gemara says, Marki Asrei, or Marki Asrei. They both agree that you're supposed to count whenever there's a mitzvah that requires that you should speak. If you have to say Kriya Shema, so you say the text of Kriya Shema, right? Fate. If there's a mitzvah that you should say something on your own, make your own nusach, so you should speak the normal way they speak in your Medina. So Marki Asrei, they came from these two Tanoim who wrote the different prices in the Mishnah. They came from two different sections in Eretz Yisrael. And in one part of Eretz Yisrael, the normal practice was to say the larger number first, like we say 28, 39. And the other section of Eretz Yisrael, the practice was that they said the smaller number first, like in ancient English, they used to say 4 and 20. Instead of saying 24, they said, or in Yiddish, you say 4 and 20. You say the smaller number first. So that's what the Gemara said, there's no machlok, because the din is whenever you speak and whenever you're counting, should you say the larger number first or the smaller number first? It depends, whatever is the normal way of speaking. So the Magen Avraham quotes this in Hilchas Sfira Sa'imer, and he says, Magen Avraham lived in Poland, and he says, everybody talks Yiddish, and the Yiddish should say the smaller number first. So that's why Echveis on Lag Baimer, so you don't say Yom Shloshim Shloshim Yom, you say Hayom Shlosha or Shloshim Yom. You say the smaller number first and the larger number second. So the many Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael say, nobody speaks Yiddish anymore. Everybody speaks either Hebrew or English. Modern Hebrew and modern English, you always say the larger number first. So based on the Gemara, we really should reverse it. You should really say the larger number first and the smaller number second. I only picked out some cheerful topics. I have a few more, but the time doesn't permit. You should try to prepare yourself before the Chazan says the Seva Avodah. Try to figure out what's going on there. I want to wish everybody a Gmar Simchat Torah. Everybody should have a successful Yom Kippur.